Before Brother Moses does the Bible reading, can we all listen attentively, because we will have a quiz and all our questions will be based on the Bible reading. So be attentive. Brother Moses.
Please, everybody should listen attentively, because the names might not be very well pronounced. It would have been nice if I have my talking Bible with me. We are reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 36. Exodus 36, verses 1 to the end. It's a lengthy one for Moses to read. May I start? So, Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of construction, the sanctuary, are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of construction of the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring free will offerings, morning and morning. So all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left their work and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: "No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary." And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. The tabernacle. All the skilled men among the workmen made the tabernacle with 10 curtains of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and cherubim worked into them by a skilled craftsman. All the curtains were the same size, 28 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. They joined 5 of the curtains together and did the same with the other 5. Then they made loops of blue material along the edge of the end curtain in one set. And the same was done with the end curtain in the other set. They also made 50 loops on one curtain and 50 loops on the end curtain of the other set, with the loops opposite each other. Then they made 50 gold clasps and used them to fasten the two sets of curtain together so that the tabernacle was a unit. They made curtains of goat hair for the tent over the tabernacle, 11 altogether. All 11 curtains were the same size, 30 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. They joined 5 the other 6 into another set. Then they made 50 loops along the edge of the end curtain in one set, and also along the edge of the end curtain in the other set. They made 50 bronze clasps to fasten the tent together as a unit. Then they made for the tent covering of the ram skins dye red, and over that a covering of hides of sea cows. They made upright frames of acacia wood
for the tabernacle. Each frame was 10 cubits long and a cubit and a half wide, with two projections set parallel to each other. They made all the frames of the tabernacle in this way. They made 20 frames for the south side of the tabernacle and made 40 silver bases to go under them. Two bases for each frame, one under each projection. For the other side, the north side of the tabernacle, they made 20 frames and 40 silver bases, two under each frame. They made six frames for the far end, that is the west end of the tabernacle, and two frames were made for the corners of the tabernacle at the far end. At these two corners, the frames were doubled from the bottom of the way to the top and fitted into single ring. Both were made along. So there were 8 frames and 16 silver bases, two under each frame. They also made crossbars of the archai wood, 5 for the frames on one side of the tabernacle, 5 for those on the other side, and 5 for the frames on the west at the far end of the tabernacle. They made the center crossbar so that it exceeded from end to end at the middle of the frames. They overlaid the frames with gold and made gold rings to hold the crossbars. They also overlaid the crossbar with gold. They made the curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen with cherubim worked into it by a skilled craftsman. They made 4 posts of archai wood for it and overlaid them with gold. They made gold hooks for them and cast their 4 silver bases. For the entrance to the tent, they made a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely twisted linen, the work of an embroiderer, and they made 5 posts with hooks for them. They overlaid the tops of the posts and their bands with gold and made their 5 bases of bronze. Praise the Lord.
You can use your Bible because you're trying to
Finding the answers to the questions among the groups, so at the end I will test and see who's got the most scores. You can start by not using your Bible and test your Bible skill. See how far you can go.
Okay, so Where is the competition then? How do we know who is leading? Okay, at the end, come and she told me to mark it for us. Okay. Hello, ma'am. Okay, I'm our food. Clap for yourselves. 10 claps. So, did they start at 12? 10 past? Okay, all right, so we have up to 20 minutes past 12. Yeah, doing well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Start rounding up. About 3 minutes more. You get extra points. You know what your reward is?
20 extra points.
Okay, if you finish
in the car,
I'll give you the answer. Praise Jesus. Everybody, pens down now. Time up. Have I got all your attention? Okay, now we want to mark and see how well we have done or not. The first question, what else did God give to those who did all the building work? Who got that right? Okay. Mark, give yourself 1 point for that. And question two, I won't bother reading the questions now, you've all got it there. What's the answer to question two?
Moses.
Okay, 1 point for that. Question three? Question four? And we all got that right? Oh, good. We're doing very well then. Question five? Question six? Who got that wrong? No one is owning up. Okay. Question seven? Camp. Eight? Nine? Ten? You're not looking in the answer paper, are you?
No.
Okay. Question 11. I think we made it too easy. We shouldn't have allowed you to look in the Bible. Okay. Question 12. Peter, what did you have for question 11? Because you were struggling with that when I came around. You decided. Okay, it wasn't after you got the answers.
No.
Okay. Okay. All right, that's fine. Okay. Question 13. Question 14. Question 15. Polls. We all add polls. Okay. Question 16. 17, 18, 19, and 20. So we all had 20 points. You had 14.
4-0.
Because we had 20 points extra.
Oh. I was wondering where you got 40 out of 20 from. Okay, all right. So what did you have, group two? What was your score? 16 out of 20. Okay, you had?
40.
Oh, well, you said 40. Okay, you had 16. And what did you have? 14. What did you have, Sister Florence group?
19.
And what did you have?
20.
What did you have? 12. Okay. What are we going to do? I'll ask all of us to stand up and give a big round of applause for group one because they had 40. That's their reward. Come on, church. Clap. Thank you. Okay, we need to hurry up now. Okay. You mean for them to stay? They could stay. Yeah, they will learn from it as well, yeah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We will quickly go into our sermon because we are mindful of time. The theme of our sermon today is the making of the tabernacle and is in relation to the Bible passage that Brother Moses kindly read to us earlier on, making of the tabernacle. There is a lot of lesson, you know, a personal challenge to each and every one of us here today. Because when, if you look at it, Moses, God spoke to Moses and gave him detailed instruction. That's why we had to read that passage. It was very detailed, and Moses and the people of Israel, as at that time, they didn't deviate at all. They walked according to the instructions as God gave it to them.
Now, in response to God's solemn charge to build the tabernacle, according to the pattern shown to him on the mount, Moses and the children of Israel, they manifested implicit obedience, wholehearted devotion to God. They gave willingly, tirelessly for the quick completion of the structure, that is the tabernacle. They were all united in their commitment. Unity, very important for the work of God. Without unity, we can't get anywhere. They were willing, they were ready, they made sacrifice. The children of Israel at this time, they were in transit. You know, they were making their way to the promised land. It wasn't a very good time, but that did not, that was not an hindrance. They just kept pushing on. They voluntarily, they gave to the treasures of God in order to build God's sanctuary. So there is a lesson, you know, this is a good example for us as children of God. These days, God's work suffers unnecessary delay. There's a lot of obstacle, and most of it is caused by, believers. You know, believers of today, we're not like believers of those days. You know, as they heard from God, they gave their 100% commitment. In the Bible, in the book of Matthew 21, Jesus Christ told of parable of two sons of a man. That is Matthew 21:28-31. The father of these boys said to them, "Go to work in my vineyard." The first son said, "I will not." But afterward, he repented and went. The second said, "I will go. I go, sir." And he didn't go. But if we compare the attitude of these boys with that of the children of Israel, the attitude of Moses and the tabernacle builders, is in sharp contrast. They heard from God, they listened to God, and they did exactly, they didn't deviate one bit. However, these boys, one said, "I will go," he didn't go. And one said, I will not go, but they were not agreeable. They weren't agreeable. This should not be us. We should take example from Moses and the children of Israel. Now, the commencement of the building of the tabernacle, immediately after their appointment and commission, Bezalel and Oholiab, they were the, what we would call, four men of today. They were in charge of the construction. Together with all the builders under them, they began the building of the tabernacle. They didn't wait until all the materials were collected. They moved in faith. They worked with what they had. They began the work with the people, with what they had initially. What they had was really little, but they had the faith that, if it is God, God say, "I will do, He will do, He will provide." Because it's not for us, to start wondering and saying, "No, I haven't got enough, but God will provide." They didn't have enough at the beginning, and it was a big project, but they pushed on. Okay. They collected materials from the people. Now, what I can deduce from there is faith is necessary in carrying out divine commission. We must believe that God will always provide for whatever He has asked us to do. All the resources for the work are not available. He calls for us to exercise faith and should not serve as an excuse to delay divine commission. I'll quickly read from the book of Haggai. You don't need to open it. But there it says, "For silver is mine, gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. He has it all. He owns everything. He will make it possible because it is his work." Now, in order for us to be able to certain qualifications, can do it. Number one, God called them. Without God's calling, it's not possible. You cannot do it. But because God called them, He made it possible. They were not doing it on their own initiative. That's another point. It was not their own thinking, oh, I just want to do this. It's because God wanted them to do it. And they were not doing it on their natural ability. It was the supernatural ability. It was supernatural, I would say, grace, blessing of God that made it possible. The book of Hebrews says, "For no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God." It's not our own personal thing, it is God. Now, Moses was commissioned by God. Everybody was willing. There was no reluctance at all. People just wanted to. They were sold out to that commitment. They wanted to do it. They were engaged in the work of God. And God blessed them. He gifted them. So He gave them the skill to carry on. He gave them wisdom. He gave them skill and understanding in their respective areas of work. We've all got our expertise, what we can do and what we cannot do. One man cannot do it all alone. So there is what we will call division of labor, teamwork, you know, people doing their bits. They were highly motivated because I think the Spirit of God, you know, steered them. They just can't have enough. They kept going on and on. Their hearts were steered. They were zealous and willing-hearted. They were committed, hardworking men and women who persevered until they finished the task. And most importantly, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were on fire for God. They just wanted to do the work. Without these qualifications, it will be difficult. So we should strive for this. We have the responsibility to steer the gift of God in our lives. We all have gifts. Nobody is redundant in the house of God. There is gift in everyone. Irresponsibility, laziness is an hindrance to the work of God. And because the people were enthusiastic, because they were willing, God was with them. He did bless them greatly. Now, through giving, through, you know, selling out for God, willing to do the work of God, there is super abundant provision. There was plenty. They lacked nothing. The children of Israel, they gave sacrificially before the commencement of the project. But in addition, they brought yet unto Him offerings every morning. The people were generous. They were committed to giving. They kept donating materials needed for the construction of the work. They gave so much, they gave more than was necessary, more than was needed. What a contrast. In this time and ages, you need to keep telling people and reminding them to give. People are too stingy. We are not like Christians of those days. May God bring us to that level in Jesus' name. Now, there is a lesson to be learned, again, even more lessons from the children of Israel, because they continued to give. Now, what is this lesson? We should not be weary in well-doing. We might not see the reward immediately, but just continue. Don't be weary. We should be ready to give continually to God's work until the task is accomplished. Giving of our substance to God is an integral part of our worship. We can praise, we can pray, but giving is integral, it's built in. It's an incomplete worship without giving. Giving of our time, our substance, our, you know, our everything to the work of God. honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presence shall burst out with new wine. That's Proverbs 3:9-10. Therefore, like I said, our worship is incomplete if it stops at a mere vocal expression of praise without the practical giving of our substance to God. We must give to God not only voluntary offerings, but in response to specific needs or demands in the church. Believers should not count it a strange thing when they are requested to give specific amounts or materials in support of God's work. My son, give me thine heart. This is Proverb again, Proverbs 23:26. Give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. We should first give ourselves to the Lord and thereafter lay at his disposal our material substance. We give ourselves our time and then we give materially. After all, he owns everything anyway. Giving to God is an indication of our appreciation. That's how we express appreciation. That's how we say we thank you. Apart from saying it verbally, or thank you, God, through giving, we're saying thank you. We're saying thank you. And we can't even thank him enough. We're showing obedience through giving. And we're saying, Lord, we submit. We submit to you. We submit to your word. He commanded the children of Israel to give, and they did. Remember when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, they took a lot of gold and other treasures with them. But when they needed the money, you know, the resources and other wherewithal for the building of the tabernacle, they did not hesitate to, you know, give back all those jewelries and gold and, you know, what have you. And that made it possible for the work of God, you know, in terms of building the sanctuary to progress, to continue. Also, we can draw parallel. Our gift to God must be prompted by submission and gratitude to God. Lord, I submit. I am grateful to you. Thank you, God. He has done great things. In our estimation, our gift to God. The children of Israel, they gave more than was needed for the tabernacle work. So much more, they had to be restrained. Stop. It's enough. Don't give any more. It's not a question of, oh, you know, we're still short of fund. We need some more. No. In this case, it was, oh, dear, we had enough. Don't give more. And that passage is also challenging church leaders and elders, because it's not heard of nowadays where a church or church leaders will say, you've given enough, you know, so we shouldn't get greedy. Why are we asking for more if we don't need that more anyway? But, you know, because that passage says it's challenging for the faithfulness of the leaders in the administration of what people gave. Moses handed over to Bezalel. Bezalel and Aholiab, they were like the leaders, you know, they were leading the construction of the tabernacle. All the materials, Moses handed everything to them. Moses did not embezzle nor convert to personal use what was meant for God's service. On their part also, Azalel and Aholiab, they kept proper record. They could account for everything that was given and what it was spent on. So that's what we call transparency, isn't it? Because when people know what you're doing with their money and they know their money is being spent on a good cause, they will be willing, they will give more and more. So that's that. The leaders were honest. They request Moses. They said to Moses, Aholiab and Bezalel said to Moses, tell them, don't give anymore. They had to be restrained. Can you imagine? I wish that it's like that these days, that we will stop people from giving other than, you know, prompt people to give more. So the attitude is a challenge to us. Do we wonder why there is insufficient fund for the work of God in Christian assemblies today? Well, members of churches, if only they'll be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that sort of ginger us, that gear us to listen, to give. If people are sensitive, they would give. So maybe because the Holy Spirit is not there, they're not listening. Holy Spirit is always there anyway. People are not listening. There should be no shortage of fund in the house of God. In some cases, churches experience lack because of unfaithfulness in giving tithes and offerings. In the time of Nehemiah, the Levites had to abandon the ministry in search of daily sustenance. The Levites, they were the people dedicated to do the work of God, but they had to abandon that. That's not good. That's not very nice, because the people were not looking after them. They were not giving, because the Israelites failed to give their tithes and offering. Insensitivity of the people to God's work and program. People had to struggle to finish and decorate their own houses. We're too self-conscious. If we ask to give, our time or money or other ways to the church, we're thinking of our work, of our time, how we would buy a bigger house, decorate our house, maybe change our car, first, instead of putting God first, which is his command, put him first, put God first. People belittle God's servant, attributing a negative motive to their vision. You will hear people say, that leader or those leaders in the church, they're asking for money so that they can embezzle, so that they can use it for their own material, their personal use. They can convert stuff to their own personal use, but that's not the case. Also, unfaithfulness of leaders in resource management may discourage people from giving. So, like I said earlier on, there is need for transparency, for accountability, proper accountability. In order to ensure a continuous flow of material provision for the work of God, members and leaders in the church must be faithful, sensitive, and totally yielded to God. They should give way to God, give to God. From the building of the tabernacle by the Israelites, we see the truth of the saying, God's work done in God's own way and time will never lack God's supply. It's a saying. I'll say again, God's work done in God's own way and in God's time will never lack God's supply. Bezalel and Aholiab and other workers implemented the instructions given to Moses to the letter, to the minute detail. They made the different parts of the tabernacle according to pattern given to Moses, their leader. They did not deviate or attempt to introduce their own ideas and amendments to the construction. Those who built the tabernacle were many, and the work was divided. Okay, here we come, division of labor, teamwork. They divided the work. We observed that the work was divided, but the workers were united. They were united, one spirit, one purpose. It's a big work, the building of the tabernacle, and it requires different expertise. So as of a necessity, it needed to be divided. But even though the work was divided, but there was unity, there was oneness among the people. We must ensure that we maintain unity in the church. We must not allow the division of the work of the kingdom into specific areas in division and disunity, you know, because the work needed to be divided does not mean that we need to be divided. We should have one purpose, one goal. Tabernacle workers, they made curtains and coupled them as God directed Moses. They made four curtains. I won't go to the details now because we've read it. Curtains of ram skin, fine linen. They made curtains to cover the sanctuary whenever the tabernacle was set up according to God's instruction. They made boards. They made, you know, all sorts of parts in order to complete the tabernacle. They made veils. They made all sorts in various colors. The various colors and materials of the tabernacle symbolize different aspects of Jesus Christ, whom the tabernacle represented. The blue, there was blue, they used blue color, signified heavenliness, heavenliness, blue. It pointed to the divinity, Lord divine divinity of Christ, heavenliness, blue. Blue color. They also use purple. Purple. Purple is the color of royalty. Royalty. Scarlet was used as well in the building of the tabernacle. Scarlet represented the suffering of Christ. Suffering. And the fine linen pointed to his sinlessness and perfect righteousness. Fine linen was also used. Now, Moses, Aholiab, Bezalel, they continued, and the other builders, they complied with divine direction, divine directive. Bezalel made the Ark of the Covenant. He made the mercy seat, cherubim, the cherubims, candlestick, and all the like. Bezalel and all the leaders, they were not idle. They went about supervising. They did not lord it on the people. Like, they stand back and say, oh, you do this. They were all busy, so all hands should be on deck, leaders or no leaders. Believers must strive to do the work of God according to his revealed will and pattern. Apart from Moses, Bezalel with other servants are examples of saints who obeyed God wholeheartedly, implicitly. We should strive to be this way. Christ our Lord and Savior is no doubt is a perfect example of obedience to God and his commission. When Christ was here, on earth in his ministry, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 4:34. So he's a great example in terms of obedience. Towards the end of his ministry and his priestly prayer to the Heavenly Father, he revealed, I have finished the work which thou gavest to me. Let's follow our master's example and keep serving until our work on earth is done and our reward is fully secured. So, thank you, Jesus. That's the word of God.
Thanks, Abby, for your word. And I think your word is very relevant to where we are,
yes,
both as church and individuals. In terms of Dave, one little example. I'd like us to end today with over £200 for Dave in view of, I think the word that you've brought us, Abby, is very relevant, and Dave is a particular example. But I think on a bigger scale too, it won't have escaped your notice as you come in that the roof's starting to fall down, and that there's work that we're looking to do. Over these next few months, as we start back into the kind of the next school term, as it were, we're going to be looking at Jesus and money and pleasing God. We're looking at pleasing God this year. We're going to be looking at pleasing God with our money and working out the principles of kingdom use, good kingdom use of money. So, Abby, thank you for your word today, and it's brought these things to light. So we're going to bring our service to a close. After the service, as I've said, if any contributions for Dave, please give them to Peter. I noticed he took an offering bag for the purpose. Let's fill it up. We're going to finish with a song that talks about how Jesus has gone before us through the tabernacle into the most holy place. I don't know if you know, do we know this one? Jesus is King, and I will extol him. Yeah. Let's stand. Jesus is King, and I will exalt Him. Give Him the glory and honor His name. He reigns on high, enthroned in the heavens.
Now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Amen.